T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, well, well. Madonna.
Hi, Madonna.
Is your artist of the day.
That's a first.
Don't believe that's accurate. What happened in St. Louis over the weekend?
Hey, I want to say a couple things. First, congratulations to all of the hockey fans. I do mean that. I know and it was a busy weekend. It was Father's Day weekend. But we are going to talk about at some point today claustrophobia. Do you have it? And what happens to you when you get it? Because if you had asked me on Friday, do you have claustrophobia? I would have said, no, I don't have, no. I would have 100% emphatically said no. And then we went to St. Louis on Saturday for my daughter's birthday, 5 hours after the parade, and I had a panic attack in my car.
You went to St. Louis for your daughter's birthday?
Yes, and there were people who suggested we should divert to Omaha because the parade was happening at noon.
Why'd you go to St. Louis?
We wanted to go to the City Museum, which is fantastic. Oh, yeah, is if cool. You've never been there, yeah, she wanted to go. Cool. I said, great, we'll go to the City Museum. It was 10 blocks away from the parade. I have never been, I was not doing well in the car when I accidentally got caught.
Was Katz with you?
No. I was
alone.
It
was just you and your daughter?
It was me and four girls.
Sophie?
The other
or
one.
B.
And I lost
Give me a phone number.
My ever
Give me a phone
loving
number.
Mind. And you guys remember the Royals Parade, right? And you remember, we all knew, you know, you just can't drive down there during a parade like that. You can't. And so we didn't. We took an alternate route. Our hotel said, this is how you get in. We never got to the hotel, Scott. It was not possible 5 hours after that parade to get to the hotel. So we bailed. And when I say bailed,
bailed as in you left the car behind?
I physically looked at a security person and another guy standing with him. And I said, I am leaving this car. I cannot be in this crowd another second. Chris, one of the funny stories is it was Chris's car. He drives a much nicer car than I have. And I was in his SUV.
You abandoned the car?
And he has one of those systems that if someone comes near the car, like another car, it beeps.
Yeah.
So it was just a mob of drunk people, Scott. And every, I don't know, 2 seconds, beep, 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 beep. And after about 30 seconds, I started, I could feel my heart rate going up like a panic attack. I couldn't move. We were just stuck. We were just stuck. There must have been 100,000 drunks surrounding that car. And I did. I walked away from the car.
That's a nice car.
It is. I looked at the man. He said, you can't put your car here. And I said,
did you put it in a parking spot or just leave it in the street?
I am leaving this car. You can have it. You can take it. I am not getting back in that car. I lost my mind. Like, do you remember Steve Martin in Father of the Bride with the hot dog buns?
Yeah.
We were in it for 2 hours and we never moved.
Didn't you know there was going to be the big Stanley
yes.
Cup parade in St. Louis
yes.
that day?
We tried at 3 o'clock. We couldn't get in. I thought by 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, surely we can, you know, take a back way into the hotel. No, there were more people and they were drunker by 6 o'clock.
Weird.
I have never been that panicked in a crowd. It was just, and I was stone sober. I just left the car.
Let's go to a real eyewitness. This is Dana's daughter, B, who was in the car Saturday afternoon.
It was Saturday at 5 o'clock.
In St. Louis. B, you're on the air, so watch your language.
Hi, nothing, honey.
Hello, everybody.
I need to know, on a scale of 1, perfectly calm, almost serenity, and 10,
not my mom.
10 being completely lost her mind, like willing to leave a very nice car in the middle of a street in St. Louis. Where was your mother on that scale?
At 11.
What happened, B?
Okay, so there was a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the hot.
We all know that. What happened inside the car?
Well, nothing really happened inside the car until we got out of the car, and this nice, like, valet guy was like, ma'am, you can't park your car here. And my mom was like, oh, I don't care. I'm leaving the car. You can have the car. She literally offered to give him the car.
Huh. Had she completely lost any modicum of having her faculties at this point?
Yes, she was going insane. She was like, I hate hockey. I hate St. Louis. And the poor guy was like, ma'am, I don't know how hating hockey has to do with this.
Wait. Your mother told the valet guy, I hate hockey, I hate St. Louis, and he looked at her and said, ma'am, I don't know what hockey has to do with this.
Yeah, some random guy. I felt so bad. And we were all just standing there like while my mom was going crazy.
Was she yelling at people she didn't even know?
Yes.
What happened in your head?
I had a panic attack.
Yeah.
I actually had a panic attack.
I hate hockey. I hate St. Louis.
But I do hate hockey.
In the middle of a parade for their first ever Stanley Cup?
Yeah, she was going crazy.
Once we got inside, it was all fine. And we actually found a hotel room, and I told the nice man at the hotel, I will pay you $10,000 and give you one of my children if you just let us stay here.
Yeah, she just wanted to get to the hotel. She was not in the mood.
Did your mother drink alcohol that evening?
No, she did not.
No, not before. I'm talking once you got to the hotel.
Oh, yeah. She drank alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
She was stressed out.
All right, B. You be good. I love you, kid.
I love you, too. Bye.
All right, goodbye.
Were you,
I hate hockey. I hate St. Louis.
No, and one other thing. I hate hockey. And he goes, ma'am, I don't know what hockey has to do with any of this. And I go, I have been driving for four. It took 4 hours to get there. And then it took 4 hours twice. So 2 hours the first attempt. And then 2 hours the second attempt
to get into the city
and get into the hotel. And we called, just so you know, we called the hotel like 3 days before. And I said, are you sure we'll be able to get in?
Uh-huh.
There was no getting in. Have you not ever, you don't have panic issues or anxiety issues.
Oh, I do if I'm around large crowds. Yeah,
so, when Scott, we went like, to. People were on the car. When I say around the car, I mean, it was, I'm trying to give you thousands and
sure,
thousands
everybody
of
on the
people.
Streets, yeah.
And I even said to a police officer at one point, please just help us get out of, like, mm-hmm. tell me how to get out of this.
No, I can sort of understand. I don't know that I've ever gone, like, right. where I'm screaming at people that I hate hockey and the city that they're in.
And then the beeping, beep, beep, beep,
but
beep,
I remember years ago when my mom took us to D.C., we were in the Smithsonian. And, you know, there's more than just one. There's, like, multiple, you know. Whatever, I'm not going to bore everybody. But it was lunchtime, and we went to that gigantic cafeteria in the Smithsonian, and I wasn't claustrophobic. I was overstimulated. There were so many people, so much noise, that I looked at my mom, and I said, I'll be outside.
Okay, so that is what I was just, get me out of here. I cannot be in this car any longer. Yeah. All the girls had to go to the bathroom. And you have to understand, Scott, we probably moved 30 yards in about an hour.
But, Dana, when I became overstimulated, I just calmly looked at my mother and I said, I have to go outside. I'll be outside. Bring the children when you're done.
You weren't in a car.
No, but I didn't scream, I hate artifacts and I hate D.C. I didn't scream that.
I think I am now claustrophobic.
I don't think it's claustrophobic. It's overstimulation. It was the beeping of the car.
Oh, God.
It was all the people, all the sights. You wanted to be somewhere where you were not. You were overstimulated. You weren't claustrophobic.
But do you remember the Royals parade and physically being down in there? That is the last time I can remember sort of starting to get that feeling, because I had a kid with, I had one of my kids with me, that I feel like there's too many people here. And if we would need to exit, there is no exiting. I said to the girls, I would not do well in a zombie apocalypse because, you know, that's, there were that many people.
See, but I, here's what I've never understood about, like, being overstimulated is that, you know, I'm in a cafeteria or you're in traffic in St. Louis and there's all this noise, all these people. Yet one of my favorite things to do is go to a rock and roll concert.
And you don't have it at concerts?
No.
I don't either.
Where I am surrounded by people.
I don't either.
There are lights and music and people talking and cell phones this and there. It doesn't bother me at all. But if I am in a large crowd that is not like a concert-related event, I start to freak out. And I just, I can, when Kelly and I went to New York, I can still remember one time we were in the street and finally I just said, we have to go back.
We got
to
go back. So it's overstimulation. You don't think it's claustrophobia?
No.
Because if you put me in an elevator, I'm fine.
What, with a white guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Old white guy?
Yeah.
No, claustrophobia is like if you were to be on like one of those MRI scans.
Sure.
And they tell you you can't move, and then they push you into the tube.
See, and I'm very calm in that.
Then you're not claustrophobic.
Scenario.
It's overstimulation.
I'm curious if any one of you listening was in. Certainly, the Royals parade is the last time I felt that.
It's a feeling of I can't get out.
Yes, it is definitely that.
Yeah. That's what your problem was.
But
that,
I don't,
that and you're certifiably crazy.
I don't hate St. Louis. We had a very bad experience on one day that we should seen coming.
And you don't even hate hockey. You've even watched hockey with Chris. What I find so fascinating is that when you lose your mind, your go-to is to insult the very people around you.
He did say, "Are you here for hockey?" And I said, "Oh my God, no, we are
no,
not."
No, you said,
province.
"I hate hockey.
I hate hockey. We're trying to get to the hotel."
No, you said, "I hate hockey. I hate St. Louis."
I think I said, "I hate St. Louis."
B
I
said, "You did."
I definitely said, "I hate hockey." The first
but
time.
But you don't hate hockey.
The first time we got on an elevator, these two guys wasted. They go, "Are you here for the hockey?" And I'm like, "Do not talk to me. I will punch you in your face. Floor 12, please."
Reminds me of that lady on the elevator in Atlanta. I'd like to get on your 448. What? Jason Katz, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. By the way, from the text line, are you playing this because Gloria Vanderbilt died today? Oh, this was the victory song. Oh, because of that young girl. No. Well, her name was Layla. Yeah, yeah. By the way, that young girl is a tear jerker. What an amazing kid. And
they
she's,
had her kiss
she's,
the trophy.
She's battling this rare form of cancer, I believe it is. And they, I saw the video that her mom filmed when she told her that they were being flown to Boston for the game. And then when the mom told her that the doctors had approved it, and this girl just starts crying and she's so excited. And I don't like hockey, and quite frankly, I don't have any feelings for St. Louis, good or bad. I just don't care about St. Louis one way or the other. It's okay. You know, the arch is kind of cool, I guess. The river's dirty. And City Museum's awesome. But when they brought that little girl, 10 years old, down onto the ice after they won the cup, and they let her kiss it and hold it, and then they put her on the car or the truck in the parade, damn it, I want this team to win. I like this team. I don't like hockey. I can't stand watching hockey, but I'm glad
right.
that the Blues won because I got to see her story.
You got to see her story.
Yeah.
If you have claustrophobia, I asked you to call in. I looked this up. I've never looked this up before because I'd never had this happen before in this way, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, it makes sense to me now. It says claustrophobia is an anxiety related to control. While the literal meaning is fear of enclosed spaces, doctors have since expanded this to fear of crowds. It can be fear of flying, any situation where one does not have complete control over all of the variables. It is not the actual event that is frightening. Rather, it is the anticipation of something going wrong. And that is exactly what happened on Saturday.
Let's go to Bob in Kansas City. Bob, hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lezak.
Mr. Lezak?
Never mind. Inside baseball.
Is Dana talking about claustrophobia or agoraphobia?
I am not agoraphobic because I leave my house all the time.
Sounds like you've kind of got the two intermingled, intermixed.
Why?
At least you know what agoraphobia is.
Agoraphobia is a fear of leaving your house, right?
Well, I'm going to cheat and use Wikipedia. It's an anxiety disorder characterized by symptoms of anxiety in a situation where the person perceives their environment to be unsafe with no easy way to escape.
Oh, there was that.
It's agoraphobia.
Yeah, it's agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia.
Read The Woman in the Window. It's one of my favorite books about agoraphobia, and it just came out, Bob, and they're about to make it into a movie. It's very, very good. And so when I think of the character in that book who will not leave her apartment under any circumstance, I don't see me in that, but I definitely see the fear of something happening in a crowd.
By the way, it can be in public. You could be on, say, for example, a subway, a shopping center. It doesn't necessarily, it is outside of your home and a fear outside of your home
sure.
of being unable to escape.
Oh, Bob, you are right on then.
It says these that may be what it is,
have mild anxiety that may lead to a full-blown panic attack. The crowd fear is called a demophobe, D-E-M-O-phobe, and those people try to avoid all kinds of gatherings. But when it's a concert, Scott, I don't seem to have that problem.
I don't either.
Now, down in a pit, like during the Independence Center show we went to a couple weeks ago, I don't think I would love being down there with that many people.
Oh, that Eilish girl?
Yeah. But I don't recall if I have a seat feeling claustrophobic at a concert.
We were on
or
the
venue.
Floor. You and I were on the floor at New Kids on the Block, and you were fine.
Had a blast.
Let's get to
but
the
we
new-
were by an exit aisle.
True. And it would be a long way to the exit because we were on the floor. To the newsroom, here is Dan Weinbaum. It was one of those where were you moments in American history. Because it was 25 years ago today.
And so moving up into the Brentwood area where O.J. has had a home for quite some time and also the home of his late wife, Nicole Brown Simpson. Again, police are in pursuit. They have not closed in. This has been going on since about an hour and 15 minutes. They have kept their distance. They have been following diligently, but they have not made any effort to derail O.J.'s vehicle. They have made no effort to pull up beside him. Again, here is O.J. Simpson. Yes, indeed, it would appear that he is, in fact, trying to reach his neighborhood, if you will.
And you see people chasing after the Bronco, which is the worst thing they could do. Mark Coogan, are you able to hear us now?
Look, there's one of the satellite trucks, so I think this, is, in fact, is pulling up. He's pulling right up to his home.
Sure looks like it here.
Here he is now. Here's the car pulling into the
estate.
Driveway. Mark Coogan, we're watching O.J. Simpson pull into his driveway. He has driven all the way, and here's somebody.
Well, he didn't drive anywhere.
I could listen to that all day.
Coming up beside him. And look, there's a bit of a scuffle here.
Oh.
And Al Callings, who is at the wheel, apparently is telling whoever came up there to get out of the way, to get back. and to stay out of the way. O.J. Simpson is in the back of this vehicle. It has tinted windows. We're unable to see a clear picture of him, but the reports we've received off of the police scanners is that Mr. Simpson has a gun to his head and obviously is threatening suicide. Mr. Cowling, as he has done since this drive began an hour and 15 minutes ago, has been waving everybody off, telling them to stay back.
You know, I watched the video earlier. I forgot about how many people would get out of their cars and, like, cheer O.J.
Yeah.
and Al Cowling on.
Over the overpasses.
Yeah.
People were stopping on overpasses.
And, like, just cheering them on. Go, O.J., blah, blah, blah.
Yay.
Nobody
I
knew.
I totally forgot
Yay,
about
you
that.
Killed
Why
two
it
people.
Was happening.
I think by then we
Did
knew
we?
About
yeah,
the deaths.
Yeah, we knew he was a suspect.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this was like
Did
three,
we?
This
okay,
was three
okay.
days after the murder, or at least 3 days
I'm
after the
murder. I'm having trouble remembering. All
because
I remember is the
remember,
helicopter
he had,
chase.
After the murders, he flew to Chicago and claimed when he came back that the cut on his hand was because he dropped a glass into the sink at the hotel.
Ah, yes.
Remember?
Yes, okay.
And then by the time he got back to Los Angeles, everybody knew what had happened. And he was, I don't want to say he was a suspect yet, but it didn't look good
he
for him.
He was a person of interest,
yeah.
as they say nowadays.
And then they wanted to talk to him. And remember, he had a wig, $10,000 in cash, if I'm not mistaken, and a passport. And he was, they
he
were,
was going to
they
find
were
the
supposed
real killers.
To go to Mexico.
Yes. Going to go find the real killer.
Well, no, he did that after the
He
trial.
Wasn't searching for the real killer yet.
No, God.
He wasn't in search for the real killer after until he was acquitted.
25 years ago, and I can tell you, and I know if you're
know
listening
exactly
and you're, and you're about our age, I can tell you exactly where I was when that happened, and the world stopped. The world stopped, and you found a TV, and you planted yourself in front of it, because it was just one of the... Like, what is happening right now, moments in America?
Yeah, Jason's looking for it. I can't remember if, because I remember watching a sporting event with my brother, because my brother and I were living in a townhouse in Lawrence together. That summer, it was the summer of 94, of course. And I had just graduated, and he was still in college. And we were either watching the World Cup or we were watching the NBA Finals. And they broke into the coverage of the sporting event to say that O.J. Simpson was in a slow speed chase in Los Angeles. Okay. All right. So we don't have the actual footage.
Oh, man.
From the whenever they broke into what I think it was the NBA Finals. I want to say it was
the
NBA Finals.
It was a 1994 FIFA World Cup. It was the commencement of the World Cup. Being hosted by the U.S.
Huh.
And game 5 of the 94 NBA Finals between the Rockets and the Knicks.
Yep.
I'll tell you
that's
this.
That's what it was.
Yep,
there
that's
what
it was.
Never be another moment quite like that.
It was a perfect storm. Because this was early 90s. This is all pre-social media.
Pre-internet,
even
all that.
Even pre-high-speed internet. And
pre-DNA, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just starting.
I wonder what the ratings were.
The ratings.
Something crazy. Not initially, but and how long did the chase go on?
Oh, it went on for over
an hour.
An hour
and a half.
Not initially, but I think if you look, you know, toward the end, you know, remember his son runs up to the car when they finally pull into that house.
That's who you just heard them say.
Yeah, and
Al Cowling was telling him to get back.
He's screaming at him to get back. I still. And the fact that police allowed him.
95 million people watched the slow speed chase
yes.
of O.J.
That's astonishing because.
95 million
in 1994,
people.
That was a third of the humans in the U.S.
Dan, the fact that police allowed them to keep that chase going. No one threw down stop sticks.
Nope.
No one blocked off the highway. And it was because he was who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. It's really hard for me to believe that the same
95
courtesy is a weird word to use there would be given to anyone else.
No,
today.
Well,
no,
it wasn't.
No, no.
It wasn't officially suspect, maybe, and he was going slow. He wasn't really a danger,
but he was a suspect. They wanted him to come. They were going to arrest
him. Come in for questioning.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they could arrest him.
Maybe they'd run out of gas. They're moving slowly.
It was such a weird thing. And now he's on Twitter. Did you see that?
Yeah, what's that all about? That he has unfinished business or something crazy?
Oh, I feel so sorry for their families.
What was that all about?
For Nicole's family and Ron Goldman's family. I don't know. He's on Twitter. Cosby's on Twitter. It's been a stellar week for social media.
Cosby put something out on Twitter today, too, that freaked everybody out, didn't he?
Yeah. Hashtag America's dad. No. Yes, he did. He called himself America's dad. I'm like, no, hashtag rapey. That's what you are.
Wait, hey, hang on. I think I may have found where they broke into the NBA coverage, because this is what we would have been watching. Just keep your finger on the dump just in case. I don't know what we're going to watch here. Hang on.
Got that offensive rebound was Elijah Wall was trying to box out Ewing, and it took him out of position, and that's how Smith came up with the loose ball.
Derek Hopper continues the excellent shooting. 6 of 9 from the field. He has 12 points. The Knicks lead 54-43.
I think they're going to break away here in just a second. Stand by.
Starks protecting it, getting it to Oakley, feeding you.
Okay, let me fast forward just a little bit.
Loves that shot just here it comes. He called it.
Knicks by 10 points. There's just under 5 minutes remaining in the third. Ewing setting the screen.
Here we go, 2 seconds.
Fort fires down to Smith. Kenny Smith. Brings the Rockets with an 8.
Some names I forgot.
And for Smith, that is his second.
It's been a while.
YouTube's showing they're about to break away any second. This is anticlimactic.
Out of the truck.
There we go.
I don't believe they have.
Oh, there's Dan Rather.
Can the chopper please try to swing back the other way so we can get a view of this?
On the ground is NBC's George Lewis. George, what can you see?
Yeah, they just broke away. They didn't even
say we're breaking away.
He's a close friend.
Which can zoom a considerable distance.
Huh.
It's amazing George what you Lewis, forget you after 25 years and this man. Whole OJ drama that began. Yeah, I'm reading up on it again. He was already charged with the murders, and they declared him a fugitive. That's why they were looking for him, and that's what prompted the whole
chase. Stop the car.
Chase.
In what world do police not stop that car?
With a gun.
Dan, did I tell you that I was at CVS the other day, and there's this big glossy People magazine special, and it said O.J. Simpson 25 years later. I'm checking out. I say to the girl, God, can you believe, I cannot believe it's been 25 years. She looks at me. She's probably,
where was this?
27, 28 years old. The girl at CVS.
Oh.
I can't believe it's been 25 years. She goes, yeah, I guess it has. And then she pauses. She looks right at me, and she goes, do you really think he did it? I go, what? She goes, I mean, do you really think he did it? I go, yes, he did,
well,
and yes, I do.
Well, maybe she wasn't there to
but
follow.
She's young. Like, anyone yeah, right. under the age of, like, 30 right now is like, what? What was that?
Yeah.
Well, anybody under the age of probably older than 30, probably 35 almost, barely
do
remembers it.
Do you really think he did it? Like, oh
well, you know,
God.
there has been speculation in the past that it was his son, and that's why the DNA matched up and everything like that. What's his son's name? Jason, or I believe it's Jason Simpson, or...
It was not his son. The blood in the Bronco.
Dana, I don't believe it was his son either.
There's
I'm
a Justin
saying.
And there's a Jason.
Yeah, I think it was the Jason kid that they think may have also done it. But, you know, no, I don't think it was him. I think it was O.J. Simpson. We all think it was O.J. Simpson. He had motive. There was so much anger.
Yeah, but
in
the glove
killings.
Didn't fit.
And that, well... Have you not read that book and seen the documentary where his attorneys say we told him to stop taking his arthritis
mm-hmm. so his
medication
hands would swell.
So his hands would swell?
Mm-hmm.
And swell they did. Swell they did. It's one of the most brilliant defense tactics I have ever heard of.
It was quite the spectacle, the trial that followed. It was just... You couldn't have written it better for television in a fictional way. It was just astonishing.
Who got their... I know John Holt got his start doing the O.J. Simpson trial.
Greta Van Susteren.
Greta Van Susteren. That's another one. That's right. It launched a lot of careers, the coverage of that trial.
Dan, I mean, Cato Kalen, hello.
Yeah, what's he up to now?
Dan Weinbaum, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. I was conceived while OJ was running from the police. That's on the text line. What day of the week was this? It was on a Friday night. Have you seen The People versus OJ Simpson? Yes. Police did not have stop sticks in 1994. I find that hard to believe. Okay. Anyway, it was 25 years ago today that OJ Simpson was engaged. In fact, almost 24 hours from right, or 24 years ago from right now, when OJ Simpson was involved in the slow speed chase. We'll get to this story at the top of the hour and visit with Dan Weinbaum, who's done some research on this. But did you hear about what's going on in Garden City, Kansas, which is not the biggest town on the map? Apparently, they have a gigantic public swimming pool.
Okay.
200,000 gallons of water has to be pumped into this pool every single day. Well, it's called the Big Pool. That's the name of the pool, the Big Pool. Very original.
200,000
gallons has to be pumped in every day. The pool holds 2 million gallons of water. What are you looking at?
That's a lot of water.
Thank you, Dana. It costs $1,000 a day, and the city also spends up to $800,000 a year on repairs, staff, and water for the pool every summer. The assistant city manager, Jennifer Cunningham, says recoating the deep end of the pool with concrete would cost another $750,000, but would not be cost effective. They support replacing the pool with a sturdier option. Why does Garden City have such a big pool?
That's not the question we should be asking, Scott. And this is with all due love and respect to anyone who lives in what I'm guessing is a relatively small community.
Okay.
They should have shut down that pool the second they realized they were losing 200,000 gallons of water a day.
Why are they losing that much water?
That is grossly irresponsible.
Population 27,000.
That is grossly irresponsible.
Where's the water going?
There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza.
They have a hole? Well, then, no. No, if there was a hole, they would just plug the hole. Where's the water going? It can't... evaporating?
Ask Dan. There is a problem with that pool. And I cannot believe they are just allowing it to remain open.
It's not available.
They need to drain it and shut it down. Say, I'm sorry. We will try again next year.
No, they want to build a whole new pool.
That's fine. They have to shut this down. I'm sorry if that's the only pool in that city. That has to be affecting someone else somewhere.
2 million gallons of water fits in this pool? That's a big pool. Somebody says, you know what else happens every day? Dogs hump. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Sam, that's true. Dogs hump every day.
Well, that's good.
Okay. You know, I go to the Roland Park pool. It's kind of small. I can't imagine the Roland Park pool losing 200,000 gallons of water. You're right, Dana. 200,000 gallons of water from the pool seep into the ground per day, even after renovations that replace pipes and sealed cracks in the concrete. Huh. The city calls the loss of water excessive. Really?
And it's not like fresh water either. That's got chlorine and stuff in it.
Yeah. It's great for the ground.
Refilling the leaking pool costs Garden City $1,000 a day. And during the period that the pool is open from Memorial Day until Labor Day, the city spends roughly $800,000 on the pool. Huh. Coating the concrete in the pool's deep end would stop the leak. Uh-huh. oh, but it would only solve the problem for about 5 years. Just get some Flex Seal, man. You seen the commercials?
Billy Mays, of course I have.
That stuff is fantastic. All right, whatever. Don't forget, this Friday, we are on the road. We're going to be at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Liberty. Be an honor and a privilege to spend Friday afternoon with you again this Friday. We are at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Liberty from 2 to 6. Would love to have you out and enjoy Friday afternoon with you. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Sam Stevie.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.